to their children. Many parents, in their attempt to relate to their children, have abandoned the role of moral leadership in the home. It's important to remember children, including teenagers, are not adults. And it's important that we as parents step up to the plate and teach them about authority in their lives. A few years ago, CNN reported a story that is kind of probably a cover story for what's happening in our world today. A mother of a 15-year-old girl had a male stripper come to her birthday party. Now, she explained that she didn't know that her daughter had hired this stripper, but she let him perform to avoid embarrassing her daughter. Who's the parent here? Moms, dads, if your children do not respect you, they will not love you. The Bible teaches us respect is an essential part of the love relationship. Let's face it, disciplining children is hard work. It really is. It takes thought, it takes effort, and it takes consistency. But it's essential for our parenting. It's our role. So I want to begin by giving a working definition for what I mean by discipline. Discipline is correction driven by love. It's correction driven by love. We do not discipline our children because we're powerful and it can show off our power. It's because our hearts are driven by love for our children. And failure to lovingly discipline is not helping your child, it's setting them up for failure. Listen to what it says in Hebrews. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the ones he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. I like how the Message translates those same verses. It says, my dear child, don't shrug off God's discipline, and don't be crushed by it either. It's the child who he loves that he disciplines. The child he embraces, he also corrects. It's important for us to understand that God disciplines us for a reason. What's the reason? Because he loves us. It's correction driven by love. And we as parents need to take our cue from God. We discipline through love. Discipline understood and practiced in a biblical way is something we do for our children, not to our children. Discipline is correction driven by love. So why do we struggle so much with discipline? I read an article that talked about some of the reasons we give for our failure to be consistent in this area. The first one is, I feel sorry for him or I feel sorry for her. They've been under a lot of stress. We as parents sometimes feel guilty for what our children have to endure. We feel bad about that they're being bullied, or we feel bad that they've gone through, you as parents have gone through a divorce. And it's natural to feel bad, and no one wants to hurt their child. That's the last thing we want to do. But child discipline experts tell us that during stressful times in a child's life are the very moments that they need discipline more than ever. They need to feel assured that you're able to keep them safe by setting boundaries and limits. Another reason we give is, I haven't spent much time with them. Allowing your personal guilt to be a reason not to help and discipline is not a good reason either. You know, you can always make more time for your child, but you must be consistent in your discipline. Zig Ziglar says, a child who has not been disciplined with love by his little world will be disciplined without love by a great big world. And then there's one that all of us feel sometimes as parents. I know we had 3 and 4 years, is I'm too tired to deal with it. You know, I just don't want to go through something negative tonight. I don't want to have a negative consequence. But it's important that we muster up enough energy to be consistent. Children get confused when you say no one time and follow through with it, and the next time you don't. You know, which parent am I dealing with? What's the truth? There have to be clear, consistent boundaries for our children and clear and consistent consequences in our discipline. Devoting time to negative behavior will make your road much easier down the road. And then there's that, he won't listen anyway, or she won't listen anyway. When we lack confidence in our parenting, sometimes we are hesitant to follow through. What if our child refuses to go to bed on time? Or what if they ignore what we say to them? I can tell you, in our home, we spent a lot of time figuring out what to take away until we finally found the things that really mattered to them and that we could take them away, and that worked. But it took a while to discover that. My child may think I'm mean. One of the biggest parenting mistakes we make is to focus on the short-term, not the long-term goals of parenting. You know, sometimes you have to say no to a request. However, in the long time, it's the best thing that will help them to understand that the answer isn't always yes in life. Sometimes there's some no's, and sometimes there's some waits. Sometimes when your child is angry with you, it means that you're doing the right thing. You're actually doing what you're supposed to do. Remember, discipline is correction driven by love. Now, if you don't have the driven by love part, then you're in trouble. Some of us are what are called helicopter parents. I like the term lifeguard parents. Our first instinct is to rescue our child from the consequences of their behavior. Therefore, the teacher is always wrong, the coach is always wrong, and in this case, the preacher is probably wrong. You might be a lifeguard parent if in the last semester you took Johnny's lunch to school because he forgot it at least three times. And if Johnny's a sophomore in college, you're the worst kind of lifeguard parent. It's important that our children face the consequences of their behavior and of their sins. Yes, they sin, just like we do. Listen to what it says in Galatians 6. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Children are always our children, whether they're 5 months or 45 years old. And it's difficult for us as parents to set boundaries and to allow negative consequences in the lives of our children. Lifeguarding parents always come to the rescue, but what happens when you're not there anymore? Who's going to rescue them then if you have not prepared them for the consequences of life? And then there's that, I always have to be the bad guy. If you have a spouse who lets your child get away with any kind of behavior, it's likely that you will be the bad guy because you enforce the rules. Someone has referred to this behavior as split decision parents. And that's tough. Listen to what it says in Amos. Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? Remember, this is a series not about fantasy life, but about real life and parenting. And because of divorce and because of children born outside of marriage and because of enabling grandparents, I've been that before, unity discipline can be complicated, you know? You know, you're doing one thing at home and grandparents are doing one thing at their house, and you know, if you're divorced, they're doing one thing over here and one thing over there. And children learn really quickly. They're really smart. They learn to play one parent against the other, don't they? They're really good at it, you know? Well, Dad would buy this for me. Mom said I could go. You're just being mean. You've heard that a couple times, maybe? For the sake of your children, try to be united in discipline. If you disagree with each other, do that privately, not in front of your children. Blended families can be tough. Well, these are my kids, not your kids. Well, if the two became one, they're our kids, regardless of the circumstances. Brenda and I would often disagree on how to discipline our children, and we would have some pretty strong discussions about who was right and who was wrong, but never in front of them. Always we try to present to them a united front. Parents, it's so important that you back each other up, even if you may not agree with your partner. If you're divorced and you share custody, that's a little more difficult, but it's still important that you're consistent with your child when you have custody of your child, even if it makes you seem like a mean or bad parent. I know that all of us have said these things before, and all of us had failed at times in our parenting to be consistent. You know, sometimes we're too tired, we don't follow through, and we must begin again. But for your child's sake, please begin again to try to be consistent. If discipline is correction driven by love, what's the goal of discipline? Well, our first goal of discipline should be respect for God. Too often we resort to, because I said so. I've never quite understood that, but you know, that's our patented parent answer. We say it because our parents said it, because I said so. But it's important to teach our children there's a higher guide for their life. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. Proverbs 19. Our children need to know them that the values that we're seeking to teach them come from a higher source. Too often, Christian parents fail to bring God's word into their discipline. We don't lie because the truth will set you free. John 8:32. My mother would often tell me stories from the Bible and apply them to my life, even as I got older. When I was 15 years old, I was president of my youth group. And there was a girl in the youth group that was really a pain. She was loud and she was difficult. Nobody really wanted to be around her. And Mom talked to me about the fact that Jesus loved those kinds of people. And if I was going to be a leader in the youth group, I had to show love to this girl, which meant that I had to sit at her table when nobody else would. And I was not at all happy about that. But she started behaving differently. And her life started to change over a period of time. And I began to realize that Mom was right again, you know. My parents had curfews, and there were boundaries in my life. I remember one of my early dates, car dates, and I was getting ready to take the girl home, and she said, well, I don't really have to be home. I don't have any curfews. And I got really red-faced, and I said, well, I do, and I have to be home at a particular time. Looking back on those boundaries, they saved me a lot of heartache and saved me from a lot of bad situations. Demonstrate by your behavior and your choices that God is worthy of our greatest respect, and your children will follow your example. Brenda wanted me to go see The War Room when it came out, and I wasn't really anxious to do that because, quite honestly, up until recently, a lot of the Christian movies weren't really high-quality movies. And I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be one of those, but it wasn't. It was an incredible movie. And the major point was, we can't change people, but God can through prayer. He can change you. He can change your children. He can change the course and direction of your family. And so it's important that our children see prayer and church as priorities in our lives. We tried to let our boys know from the time they were very small that we were praying for their life partner sometime in life when God led them to the wife that they would marry. And they weren't real impressed at that point in their life, but I think they appreciate those prayers now. Now we're praying those same prayers for our grandchildren. Respect for parents. The Bible teaches respect is essential in a love relationship. We won't follow those that we don't respect. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you will enjoy long life on the earth. Parents, your child's first encounter with authority is you. You're the first person that they experience that sets boundaries in their lives. And they will not respect you unless you do set those boundaries. They'll struggle respecting authority all their lives. Let me share an example of how this works. Some of you may be able to relate. Have you ever thought about first-time obedience? How do you create that atmosphere? You got a toddler and you tell them to pick up their toys, and you're talking to somebody and you notice they haven't picked up their toys. So what do? You say it a little louder. I said, pick up your toys. And a few minutes later, nothing's happened. And then you get close to that screaming level. I said, pick up your toys. And finally, you jump out of your chair. And when you jump out of your chair with, you know, real fervor on your face, suddenly the child begins to pick up their toys. What did they learn? They learned they can ignore everything that precedes you getting out of your chair with a scowl on your face saying, we're going to do this together. you know. So what if the first time you said pick up the toys, they didn't do it, you got out of your chair before they could escape, and you gave the appropriate punishment? It might be to go to the room without a snack, it might be some other thing, maybe no toys the next time. But you use your leverage as a parent, which God gave to you, to set boundaries in their lives and let them know that first-time obedience is expected from you as a parent. Just as parents are to be obeyed the first time, God expects that same obedience from us in our walk with Him. Parents need to respect civil authority and church authority. Your children learn very quickly if you respect their teachers or if you respect leaders at church. My mother was very, very careful. Since my dad didn't go to church until I was an adult, I learned from my mom that you respect the leaders of our church. I never heard mom say anything negative about the leaders in our church, the pastors in our church. One of the greatest gifts she gave me was to respect those who serve the Lord. And this last part is the most important part. We need to teach self-esteem to our children. Learn to understand the power of your words. Tell your children often how important they are to you and how loved they are by you and by God. For some reason, negative comments stick with us more than positive ones. Have you noticed that? You know? So you have to say more positive things to have the same impact as those negative things you say. Be careful with words like "you always do this" or "you never do this." Always and never are a long time. Avoid those kinds of statements. I suggest to parents that you keep a journal for at least a week and record for a week how many negative and how many positive things you say to your children or to your grandchildren. Not the ones you think in your head, the ones you actually say to them. You know, "I love my grandkids." You tell everybody else, but sometimes you don't tell them that you love them, you know. So it's important that your positive statements to them are at least 5-to-1 in ratio to the negative things you say if you want to build self-esteem in your children and grandchildren. It takes a lot more positive comments to offset the negative comments that we make. It's important. One of the things I admire about my wife as a mother and grandmother and teacher is that she looks for ways to see good in people. And as a teacher, she would always find some way to reward the kids for what they did and to recognize positive things. And she had some kids that were pretty hard to find some positive things. And she looked for those same things in her children and her grandchildren. Recently, she wrote letters to all of our grandchildren, snail mail. And I was saying, "Why don't you just email them?" But, you know, I thought that's kind of a crazy thing to do. But they've all responded so positively. She told them what she appreciates about them and the dreams that she thinks God has for their lives. We need to do those kinds of things with our kids. Since discipline is correction driven by love, never discipline in anger. Never discipline in anger. That's not my rule, it's God's rule. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Another translation says, "In your anger, do not sin." Now, I'm sometimes asked by people, "Is spanking okay in discipline?" And my response is, it's never okay if you're angry when you do it. Waiting for the anger to subside and waiting to do that punishment accomplishes two great things. It allows you time to cool down, and it becomes the most dreaded thing in the world. "Oh man, he's going to spank me. I'm not sure when. You know, it's been 30 minutes. I can remember some of those times. A couple of swats, not the kind that leave marks, but never strike a child in anger. Spanking was never my first choice, because by the time I wanted to strike my children, I knew I was too angry to trust myself. We had three boys. I think I spanked them about 10 times in the whole growing up. Corey twice, Jeff never, and Brent 8 times, you know. So, there are other wonderful ways that you can use things, like sending their children to your rooms, No television, no phones, no video games, just books that they can read can be very effective. When our sons got their driver's license, we had a standing rule. If you get a speeding ticket, hand me your license as you walk through the door. And I'm going to keep it for 30 days. And that was a pain because I really liked them driving it and doing all those errands. But that's part of discipline. It's part of consistency. Discipline should teach your children priorities and values. With discipline, will there be cynical answers and complaining? Absolutely, because that's our sinful nature. We resist authority. Not just kids, we resist authority because we don't want to change. Communicate clear and reasonable guidelines and consequences to your children. You're going to love this part. Make church attendance a priority, and I would almost say requirement. And that means you need to show up too. Don't send them. Come with them. Think about it. We have no problem sending our kids to school, right? That's a requirement. We want them to go. I never had an option. I'm going to school, you know. And we don't have any trouble sending our kids to the doctor. That's non-negotiable in our lives. So why shouldn't church be non-negotiable if we truly want to teach our children respect for God? I love all the opportunities and activities that are available for children today. But placing higher value on those activities and opportunities and not enough value on their spiritual development and their spiritual growth is a major mistake I believe we make as parents. We have to make time for what is most important, and our actions far outweigh our words. We may talk about loving God, but if we don't demonstrate to our kids, they figure that out pretty quickly. Something you talk about, it's like talking about going on a diet, you know, but that's not going to happen, you know. So don't tell your kids you love God, show them you love God. Discipline only works in the context of a loving relationship. Rules without relationship leads to rebellion. Please know that. Rules without relationship will lead to rebellion. You can't impose a bunch of rules unless you have a loving relationship with your child. Remember that 5-to-1 thing, positive versus negative. At the same time, relationship without rules also leads to rebellion. You're not just your child's friend. You do not have to be cool. You don't have to be neat. You don't have to be with it. You have to be a parent. That's what God has entrusted you with, the responsibility He's entrusted you with. Now, I realize some of you had great parents who taught you by example to respect God, respect their parents, to have great self-esteem, to know the right priorities in life. Others did not have that training and parenting. Discipline driven by love is a foreign concept to you. You were just disciplined, period. Maybe you feel defeated because some of the things I'm talking about are not true in your home and in your personal life. Well, let me share with you today some amazing good news. It's called grace. I like to call it do-overs. We serve a God who, even in our sins and mistakes, if we will confess them and give them to Him, will give us a chance to work in our lives and also to work in our families. As I was preparing the sermon, I remembered a funeral I did in 2012. It was for a man named Bob. I'd known Bob for about 4 years when I went to Daytona. He was pleasant. He was faithful. He loved his wife, loved his kids, loved his grandkids. I had no idea that had not always been the story of his life. When he died, I went to the home to get some Bob stories, and so I expected the kids and his wife to say, well, Bob's been a Christian for 40 or 50 years. That wasn't true. This is what his wife told me. Most of his life, Bob wanted nothing to do with the church. Bob was an alcoholic, and he was very unkind to his children. Bob was an ex-Marine, and he rarely showed affection to his children, especially his son Mark. And one by one, the kids shared some very painful stories about their father, I'm thinking, oh, this is not going to be a fun sermon to preach. But then they said, when Dad turned 50, he accepted Jesus as a Savior, and everything changed. The change was amazing. Dad was so loving to his grandchildren, and Mark said, it floored me the first time he said to me, I love you. And the first time that he hugged me. And over the next 15 years that we had with Dad, we drew very close. And God was so faithful in healing the wounds and allowing the father-son, father-daughter relationship to flourish. And we would never end a phone call without, I love you. Think about that. I was thinking about the funeral service again this week and marveled at the power of God to redeem our lives, to heal our wounds, and to restore His purpose for us. So if you're here this morning and you're a father or a mother, and you know you've messed up, it's not too late. I don't care if you're 50 or 60 or 70 years old, it's not too late to redeem the past, not in your power, but in God's power. If you grew up in a family that did not teach respect for God, if you missed those words of affirmation from your mother or father, these are my words to you this morning from your Heavenly Father. You are God's beloved. You are God's beloved. As parents, we're called to discipline, to set boundaries, and to do it with hearts driven by love. If you're overwhelmed today as a parent or as a grandparent, if you feel like a failure, and who of us hasn't felt like a failure at times as a parent, He's here to help you, and He's here to help me. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads for a moment. If you'd like to pray this morning, if you'd like me to pray for you, to have that Bob kind of transformation in your heart or in your family,